Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said too many people confuse free speech with loose talk. We appreciate this opportunity of coming your way with our Bible Meditations program. We believe that studying the Bible is very important, and so we're glad for the opportunity of talking to you about God's Word. All right, let's get back to our study, and we were talking about a great prophet. A prophet who, even though 400 prophets already had given their voice in a different direction, a prophet who had to stand up and say the right thing. You know, there is the idea in our world today that majority makes right. And so a number of people would have said with Micaiah, you ought to just go along with the majority. There's no way that you're in the majority because there's only one of you. 400 have already spoken another way. However, the prophet Micaiah simply said, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Well, we believe that attitude should be developed. We used it with application to what the Lord said about his church. Reading your Bible and looking at the divisive religious world about us is very clear that the Lord has said differently than people are saying in our world today. Also, in the matter of acceptable worship, what does the Bible say about it? And what does God want us to do? Well, we've already noted from John 4 and verse 24 that worship must be in spirit and in truth. To say it is in spirit means that we do it from the heart. We pointed out that our heart is not our blood pump. Certainly that is our heart in one sense of the word, but not the heart spoken of in the Word of God. The heart that we're talking about is the mind, the thinking, the intellect, the emotions of man. The seat of that is our thinking, and that's where we worship God from our thinking. We worship God from our heart. Also, worship must be in truth. John 17:17 identifies truth as being the Word of God. So when we worship, we must worship in truth, according to the Word of God. Now the Bible teaches that the early disciples met together and they sang songs of praise unto God. Matthew 26 and verse 30, and they sang an hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. The singing of praise to God was a characteristic of the church in its very beginning. They sang without the accompaniment of an instrument, and there are numerous passages in the New Testament that simply specify singing. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. A very similar statement in the Colossian letter chapter 3 and verse 16 when he says that they sing with grace in their heart to the Lord. So very clearly singing was a part of their worship unto God. A number of other passages relate to our singing, but friends, let this be noted. None of those passages indicate that they used a mechanical instrument of music in their worship. They sang and made melody in their heart unto the Lord. Also, the idea of our communing is pointed out in the Word of God. Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. The point of the passage is that the brethren came together on the first day of the week in order to commune. We have people offering communion before, well, weddings, or before a surgery, or at the time of a funeral. And they simply say it's a good thing to take communion. Remember the body and blood of Christ. Yet that's not the example and the pattern the New Testament gives. The disciples met on the first day of the week, that's on Sunday, and they assembled together to break bread. The breaking of bread was not taking a meal, but rather is the communion of our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The fruit of the vine which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? So we're talking about communion, and they did it on the first day of the week. Let me ask you something. Does the church where you attend commune every first day of the week? Well, you can almost hear somebody saying, well, the Bible doesn't say they did it every first day of the week. Listen to how shallow that argument is. Under the Old Testament, they were commanded, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, did the Bible say every Sabbath day? Well, of course not. But what happened when they didn't observe the Sabbath day? Well, you remember a man was brought to Moses for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. He was stoned. The command was stone him to death because he violated the law and he was not doing what he should be doing on the Sabbath day. Could you imagine that man arguing, well, the Bible doesn't say or God didn't say, remember every Sabbath day. Well, of course, every Sabbath day is involved. And so every first day of the week is involved when the disciples come together to break bread. It points out very clearly that we need to speak up in regard to what the Lord has authorized for His church to do. What about giving? I don't know of any religious body that, could exist without a collection. But the collection is not the major thing in many religious bodies. The Bible teaches a collection is to be taken on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. But religious bodies today have taken to other methods of raising money for their funds. It's not uncommon to hear about raffles. It's not uncommon to hear about rummage sales, about things, parties and dinners and things of this nature that are used to raise funds for the church. Religious bodies who have radio programs plead on the radio program for you to send money for the continuance of that program. You note that the Church of Christ has never asked you to send money to support Bible meditations. It is supported by the contribution on the first day of the week. It's not a free activity, but it's paid for by those who are members of the church as they give on the first day of the week. Well, we believe that we all ought to have the attitude of the prophet who said, what the Lord says, that's what I'll have to say. We do appreciate being with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.